You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You know, we've talked about the story with Ole Miss, Lane Kiffin bails on them. So right away, that makes you root for those kids, I think, a bit. And then Trinidad Chambliss is a great story to begin with. So it was easy to root for him. I also just think he's come up with big play after big play. Wasn't good enough, though, as a team last night. Miami, really, for most of that game, was the better team.
I thought at any point they were getting ready, Ole Miss was going to get run out of the building.
It looked like it.
Chambliss kept trying to give the ball away.
And Miami was so dominant.
Miami was running the ball with ease.
When they wanted to run,
this is going to be a problem.
When Miami wanted to run, they were able to run the football. And then Carson Beck, give him credit, last drive, you know, to go and get yourself a berth for the national title game, he puts together a 70-yard drive that eats up a good chunk of clock. Of course, he runs in the touchdown. Ole Miss had nobody over on that side of the field. I mean, he just walked in if he wanted to. And it caps off, well, maybe, we'll see. To this point, continues, I should say, his seven-year college football career. And Miami, it's weird. Like, normally, going way back to when we were much younger, you know, Miami, they were dominant, and they were viewed
as... The swagger team, you know?
Yes, they were viewed as kind of team people didn't like and all that. Now that... Both these teams were really likable last night.
You know, Miami, because they have not been relevant for a number of years, you know, the hate, or I guess the childhood hate or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have a ton of hate. They were a really popular starter jacket during my youth.
Yeah, good colors. Yeah.
And so, but you know, like they were the braggadocious team. And so I think people were kind of turned off of them for a while. Just a likable bunch trying to win a football game last night. They were on the fringe of not making the college football playoff at all. Again, why we all wanted a college football playoff for so damn long anyway. For the longest time, it was just you put two teams in. Then we got up to four, and it's like, no more. There are more good teams with an actual chance of winning a national title. Miami, the 10 seed of the very few teams who get in college football, is all the way in the national championship now.
Yeah, this is a true playoff. This is the point of having a playoff.
Which is an American sports system, I understand. And it is unique to American sports.
Here we are.
Turns out I'm an American. I grew up here and I like watching.
This is what we like, man.
Playoff sports, even if they are not the best team wins formula every time, because they aren't, they are still the most fun formula from a just anybody can win it perspective. So the only and that's what stood out to me is really the fact that this once again kind of highlights where college football is. And I think that everybody should admit that the SEC is not the best college football conference anymore. They will now have three straight years not having anyone play in the national championship game. And the Big Ten could win three straight national championships if Indiana wins it all, or the ACC could have one before them. So like,
that
no
on top
offense.
Of the bowl record, the SEC was 4-10 in bowl games, 2-8 against in ones that didn't include two SEC teams playing.
Sankey, the SEC commissioner, can try all he wants more and more to guarantee bids and opportunities for the SEC to have spots in the playoffs. But the facts are the facts now. As you said, it's been 3 years since they were in a national title game. The only part that I love that.
Oh, of course I do.
The only part, I hate is because, again, I think
they might try to run the sport.
Well, no, I mean, like, because I thought Ole Miss was very likable and Trinidad, and that would have been a cool story. But in general, the fact that the SEC missed out after how they've tried to game the playoff bidding for themselves, I do take a little bit of joy.
I think it also helps that this is Miami and not Ohio State in a way. From the standpoint of Miami's back, Carson Beck, the not revenge tour, if you will, but Georgia essentially said, we're taking Gunnar Stockton over you and you got to leave. He leaves, gets the elbow surgery. He's back and he's going further than Georgia did. Like there's so many good storylines beyond just the Cignetti angle as well with Trinidad Chambliss. And to your guys' point about the way the playoff is built up, if it were just four teams, we wouldn't see Ole Miss or Miami in or Oregon in. Like, I think that, you know, having the playoff as big as it is, it presents the opportunity for stories like this to be, you know, made.
But my fear, and like, this is a very real fear I have. It brings me pleasure because of the way the SEC talks down to everybody football wise, that they have not been in a national championship for three straight years. Deep, deep pleasure. And that they will once again not do it. But because of them not being in it and because they are still the loudest voice in the room when it comes to college football, they are going to ruin it to stack the deck for themselves now. They're going to fight even harder for four guaranteed playoff spots. They're going to fight even harder for all the home games have to be played in SEC stadiums. They're going to fight even harder to try to not make it equal because they're not winning anymore. So, like, we have to prepare for, but because if they the were SEC going to 16, is still powerful, that they're going to fight for inequality in it.
I mean, if they go to 16, I don't know if I hear you. I think if they were going to 16, which we all think they're going to end up doing, the SEC was going to be trying to lock in, you know, four
but
or
I think
plus
now
spots anyway.
More, like, you know, it's going to be worse.
I guess, yeah. Or is there more juice now behind the Big Ten and other power brokers as well to push back on that? I don't know.
I'm not so sure if this is a good way to describe this, but I would say, because Cam Newton recently came out, I think, and said something similar to in the range of what you're saying, Cody. Not exactly, but Cam Newton said, I would rather watch Arkansas, Mississippi State than Indiana. But I think that there is a moment where you can, I think I agree with Cam from the standpoint that the SEC means I get the fact that it means just more, because I think the SEC means more to those states than college football does to any other region in the country. That doesn't mean, though, that I would rather watch Arkansas and Mississippi State play than Indiana and Oregon play. I think while the SEC and it means more
Arkansas,
there.
Mississippi State stink.
Exactly. I think while it means more, that doesn't mean that that's the best product on the field. And I think that's the discrepancy where college football finds themselves in, is the people love the SEC and the pageantry, and all of that is more than collectively than what it is anywhere else in the country. But that doesn't mean it's the better football product.
No, look at the Big Ten. The Big Ten is guaranteed a spot in the national title because, of course, tonight we get Oregon and we get Indiana. And so with where they're at, you brought up Ohio State over the last couple of years, last year national champions as well. Like, the Big Ten, you might be correct on the regional aspect of the SEC, but the Big Ten has been the better.
Yeah,
the Big Ten has been the better conference right now. Now, it can change. We could be talking 3 years from now, and the SEC is in the title game and winning three straight championships. But right now, the Big Ten's the best conference.
Yeah,
it is. You know, ultimately, it's about who wins national titles and who makes a run in the college football playoff. Not necessarily just that, oh, well, the bottom three teams in the SEC are better than the bottom three teams in the Big Ten. Like, yeah, you want depth in your conference, but that's not really how we're judging these conferences. Like, you know, as much even when we talk about the Big 12, yeah, top to bottom, the Big 12 is actually a pretty strong conference. But the top end is not anywhere near the top end of the Big Ten or the SEC. It's just not.
Yep. No, it's not. And like, but that's the problem. Again, I do think that it's somehow, look, right now, the Big Ten's having a better run. Like, I understand the Big Ten and the SEC are the only two conferences in college football that have real juice at the moment. I still think that NIL can help balance the playing field a little bit. Like, look at teams like Texas Tech, who can now compete, who weren't previously competing in the old system. And it just, a lot of this just goes back to, like, nobody likes the winner, right? Same as people didn't like the Chiefs and are happy to see him fail and everything else outside of it. The game tonight, I am very interested in. We can talk about it more later, but the Indiana Oregon one, like, for the Oregon, Phil Knight doing the I'll give you a blank check until I die to get them a national championship. I gotta say, when he was looking at a Final Four of, and like, if you just take the, you know, knowing how good Indiana's been, Indiana, Ole Miss, and Miami, you gotta be like, guys, I've been cutting these checks for a while. We got a guy who's gonna go top two in the NFL draft. Kind of feels like this is the year that those checks are supposed to cash. Is how I would feel if I was Oregon.
Trying
I understand
their first ever football
tonight.
National title.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, nobody, that was what was fun about the four, is that nobody is some like football powerhouse, even though the Miami
historically,
brand,
but not in the last 20 years or whatever. Yeah. I think what you just said though, about the, you know, Phil Knight and the money and all that. It's weird. There was the story. Was it a day ago, 2 days ago? So Mark Cuban is a Indiana alum.
For the first time he dedicated since 2015, he dedicated a big amount of money.
He's an Indiana alum. And he said that, he committed some NIL money last year, but he's like, they like the check I'm giving them more this year. We don't know the dollar amount and all that. I can't remember. I think maybe it was Front Office Sports that had a whole article about this. I thought it was fascinating, and it makes sense. They said, you know what? You've always had, like, Mark Cuban's always donating money to Indiana, the university, but not the athletic department. And they made a good point, and they said, this is why it's changed. Before, it was never viewed as, you know, on the up and up, you know, you're supporting the athletic department. It was a little more shady. Mark Cuban wasn't going to want to get involved in the bag game, you know what I mean? And the stuff that wasn't above board. So he was always donating to the university, the academic side for buildings and the educational side, which is great, by the way. Now that it's above board, for NIL, for you to write a check for NIL. Now you've got these other schools that have, like, every university has not the same amount, but every, there's somebody at all these universities.
Some
that
rich person who went to the university.
And now, are they more likely to contribute to your athletic department because it's viewed as above board versus before, like, they weren't going to get in the shadiness involving whether you, you know, talk about.
Because I'm a proper businessman. Yeah. I can't be $100 handshaking like the local car dealer guy.
The same thing goes for like, look, K-State brings in Colin Klein. If K-State goes to the college football playoff next year, maybe not this, because they're uploading some resources, but if they go to the playoff, there's going to be another re-up in those resources. I think where Signetti comes in and there were some promises made. Hey, I need this. He goes to the playoff. Okay, we actually can buy in. Then there's a little bit more money. They go undefeated so far this season. Now there's another re-up. Like, the fact people think, if people think Indiana's leaving and they're going anywhere, they're absolutely not, because now they're getting the investment from
facilities will be next,
like,
too. They'll get better facilities over there. That's going to take some
Indiana's
time
not going anywhere.
That'll take some time. Yeah, it's interesting. And then, you know, the ACC real quick and we can move on. For whatever reason, it's great for Miami. For whatever reason, they're the only conference that allows them to keep the full prize pool, if you will, of what they make. So Miami in the ACC, they get all right now $20 million they've made throughout this playoff run. Normally, in the SEC and the Big Ten and the Big 12, you split that with everybody else in the conference. The ACC does not make you do that. How about that? So Miami's getting every penny of the bonus money, essentially, throughout this run.
It's crazy.
Now, as a conference, I would say that seems like a bad idea, but, you know, just wouldn't you want to prop up everybody in the conference? But for Miami, it's great.
Yes, of course it is. That is kind of crazy. What was the ACC thinking?
Did they just to appease
they
and keep like Clemson and maybe at the time? Did they do it to keep Florida State and Clemson happy?
Did it to keep different schools happy, and then Miami's just going to cash a $20 million check by themselves?
Yeah.